For unless we overcome our fear of failure, we will never fully appropriate the blessings God has in store for us on the victory side.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. No one likes the realization that he or she has failed. In fact, fear of failure can have a paralyzing effect in trying something new or even from trying again where one has failed before. In his message today, Pastor Brian Grant offers three keys from the life of Joshua that can help God's people overcome the fear of failure, freeing them to step out in faith and achieve the great things God has promised in his word. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of his message, Overcoming the Fear of Failure.
Two gas company meter men had to check meters in the back of houses in an alley. So they parked their truck at one end of the alley and they worked their way down to the other end of the alley, checking all the meters in the back of the houses. And at the last house, they noticed that there was a woman looking through the window at them. So she was looking through the kitchen window. So they made sure that they checked her meter really thoroughly and properly. And after they were checking all the meters, the older man who was the supervisor, he challenged his younger co-worker to a foot race down the alley. And so off they went running down the alley. And as they were almost at the truck, they noticed that the woman they had seen in the last house, she was running behind them. She was huffing and puffing. So they stopped to ask her, "What's the matter? Why are you running behind us?" She said, "Listen, when I see two gas servicemen running at full speed from my house, I figure I better start running as well." This poor lady's heart was filled with fear. And I suspect as we continue in our series this morning that we started that last week, moving to the victory side in the book of Joshua, I suspect that some of the Israelites, as they entered, as they were about to enter the promised land, I suspect some of them might have been afraid about whether they would succeed in conquering the promised land, because Moses, the great leader, the great hero Moses, had just died. And so it would be surprising to me if some of them were worried that they would fail. Perhaps I'm speaking to somebody this morning who, you know, you're struggling with this whole worry about failure. Perhaps you're struggling, you're wondering, will you succeed? Will I succeed? Will I succeed in school? Will I succeed in my career or will I be a failure? Will I succeed in life? And I want you to know, my friend, if you're here this morning, young person, you're worried about school. You're still worried. Will I graduate from high school? Will I graduate from college? Will I get a good job? You're worrying. If you're worried about some of these things, I want you to know you're not alone. For fear of failure plagues, get this, 31% of adults in America, 31% of adults in America are afraid of failure. In fact, I was surprised as I studied several surveys that were done that all the surveys came up with just about the same percentage. And they tell us that fear of failure is the second highest fear that people have. Fear of failures is more extensive than the fear of spiders, more extensive than the fear of ghosts, more extensive than the fear of being left home alone. Let me see how good you are. Who can tell me? Do you think you can tell me? What do Americans fear more than fear of failure? Not death, believe it or not. It's fear of horror movies. Third, 32%, it's only by 1%, 32% of Americans fear horror movies, and 31% fear failure. But today, get back to square one. You can make a note of that statistic. You can share it in a trivia contest. But today, as we continue this mini-series, I want to speak on the topic, overcoming the fear of failure. For unless we overcome our fear of failure, we will never fully appropriate the blessings God has in store for us on the victory side. I hope you're listening to me very good this morning. Listen, once you have become a Christian, you have crossed over to the victory side. But because you're now a Christian and you're on the victory side, if you continue living with the fear of failure, you will never experience all the blessings God has in store for you. Amen. But before we get started, we better define what success is, because I'm convinced that part of the problem that people have, why we fear failure, is because we have the wrong definition of success. And if you don't know what success is, it's easy to fear failure. So put this in your notes. What is success? God's definition of success. If we did a survey and asked people, what is success? I believe many would give the answer I saw on the web. It said, success is attainment of wealth, position, and honor. But turn quickly, just flip a few pages to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, to see what God counts as success, to see what does God really ask us to do in our lives. What does God want to see happening in your life and mine? And verse 12 says, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And so you can write down in your notes if you're taking notes. And if you're a visitor, just know that the insert with the notes is there for you if you want to use it. Here's what I want you to write out. To enjoy success God's way, we must walk in all his ways and love him and serve him with all our heart and soul. Tony Evans puts it this way, and you can write this down. Success is fulfilling your God-given purpose in life. Success is fulfilling your God-given purpose in life. The question is, are you seeking to fulfill God's purpose? You know, one of the things that sidetracks us very often is that instead of seeking to fulfill God's purposes, sometimes we are pursuing wealth. Of course, some people say, oh, brother, don't worry about me. I'm doing both. I'm seeking wealth, but I'm trying to fulfill God's purposes. Well, you see, it doesn't work that way. You see, if you're really seeking to fulfill God's purposes, if it is his plan that you be wealthy, guess what? He'll bless you with wealth without your having to seek it. We don't have to seek it. What God wants us to do is to pursue his purposes for our life. Amen? Amen. So let me leave with you three principles this morning to overcome failure, because our topic is overcoming the fear of failure. Here's the first one. I want to pull three principles from the text we read this morning in the book of Joshua. So we're going to be there, but we're going to be moving around a little bit. Write this down in your notes. If we're going to overcome the fear of failure, number one, determine to meditate on the Bible and to live it out. Determine to meditate on the Bible and to live it out. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, God makes a very powerful promise. Here's what it says in verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not not turn to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And listen to verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have what? Good success. God is committing himself. And God is saying, young man, older person, God is saying to you, if you want to have success in your life, not necessarily success as mankind defines it, but success as the Creator God defines it. And I am asking you this morning, young person, which is more important, to have success the way your neighbor says, or to have success the way God says? And God is telling us very, very clearly. So put this down in your notes. When we meditate on the word of God, believe its promises, and live out what it teaches, God will give us what? Good success. Amen. Let me say it again. When we meditate on the word of God, young lady, listen good, because you're struggling in your life and you said, I wish I could find success. And God is telling, when we meditate on the word of God, believe its promises and live out what it teaches, God is committing that he will give us good success. Can you trust God? Can we trust God? Can God be trusted? Yes. Well, he's made a commitment. And my young friend, as you seek to live your life, you make sure you live it as God is saying right here. You know what is very interesting, though? The word meditate has come on some tough times. You know, the Hebrew word translated meditate means to mutter. Okay, it means to mutter. And the Jews would read scripture aloud and talk about it to themselves and to each other. And one of the most memorable verses of scripture in the Old Testament is Deuteronomy chapter 6. We refer to it quite often. So let's go back there, Deuteronomy chapter 6. In fact, it's because of this scripture and some others like it when those of you, if you visit a Jewish home, if you notice, there's usually a little scroll by the door. Anybody ever notice that? They have a little, you might even realize that's what it is. There's a little thing stuck onto the doorpost, and it actually has a little tiny scroll in it. And it has certain verses of scripture. And so here's what we read here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. If you can put that on the screen, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk, by the way, you see them muttering. Talk about it while you're sitting in your house. Talk about it when you're by the way. Talk about it when you lie down. Talk about it when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. God is saying, hey, listen, get absorbed in this word of God. Mutter it. Listen, meditate on it. Think about it. Chew on it. Talk to others about it. Listen. That is what meditation is all about. You know, I like the definition, so I'm going to have you add this to your notes. I found it on godquestions.org, which is a very good website, by the way. And here's what it says. Write this down. Christian meditation is an active thought process whereby we give ourselves to the study of the Bible, praying over it, and asking God to give us understanding by the Spirit. Amen. Christian meditation is an active thought process whereby we give ourselves to the study of the Bible, praying over it, and asking God to give us the understanding. But meditation is a big fad today. But sadly, it's the unsaved who are doing the meditating. To some unsaved people, meditation means that I go to, and a lot of the times some of these gyms or some of these programs that are trying to help you accelerate your fitness and both physically and mentally and emotionally. And so they're big into meditation. And for some, it means that they clear the mind. They may mutter certain things to try and clear their mind. In some cases, it involves communing with us, the spirit world. Christians, stay with me now. Because it is so easy for us to, our friends are telling us how meditation is so powerful and it's so helpful to them. You know, if I did a survey, it would be very interesting to survey how many Christians are doing meditation at the gym rather than meditation on the word. Christians need to stay away from the world's version of meditation. If you are a Christian, you have no business joining in that meditation where they're clearing their mind or they're communicating with the spirit world, for it is totally opposite to what God means by meditation. For instead of emptying the mind, God wants us to fill our minds. Amen. It's not emptying the mind. God wants us to fill our minds with His holy word. And as we fill our minds, amen, as we fill our minds with God's word, the Spirit of God will start washing away our negative and our sinful thoughts. And some of us struggle with all sorts of negativity. And as we spend time meditating on the holy, in inerrant word of God, suddenly as we meditate, as we spend time on it and in it, God will wash away some of this negative thought. God will start, listen, come on now, He will start changing our sinful habits. And stop telling me you don't have a sinful habit, because I know you are a liar, amen, because we're all sinners, amen. Every one of us were born with sin, and even after the blood of Jesus came into our lives, listen, sin didn't just stop, it kept on, didn't it? And the Bible tells us, if any man say he does not sin, he's a liar. Every one of us are sinners, but thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. It still is washing. And one of the ways the Spirit of God works is when we start taking the idea of meditation seriously. The Spirit of God will gradually change our minds until we become more like Jesus. Little by little, we will be transformed by the Word of God. Non-Christian meditation has grown so rapidly. I read on the internet several sources are telling us that there are now 250 to 500 million people who regularly meditate. But sadly, despite God's promise of success, if we meditate on His word, it's a promise of success. It's a promise of a success. Help me out. Somebody say it's a promise. It's a promise of success. Amen. Despite a promise of success, the Christians are leaving meditation to the non-Christians. And so this morning, as we talk about how to overcome the fear of failure, God is challenging you, young person, older person. God is challenging me. We got to take back this business of meditation. We got to get serious about meditation. Because as we have said already, if we determine to meditate on the Word of God, believe its promises, and live out what it teaches, God will give us good success. Well, I hope today you'll commit. I hope today I will commit, we will commit to taking meditation seriously. First principle, we must determine to meditate on the Bible and to live it out. Secondly, add this to your notes, start assuming more responsibility for your growth. Start assuming more responsibility for your growth. We're back in Joshua chapter 1. Verse 10, Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go into the land, to go into to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. For over 40 years, God had been feeding these people. For over 40 years, God had been feeding these Jewish people. And even as they were on the brink of entering the promised land, God was still sending them manna. Sometimes we don't realize the manna was still going on. God was still sending them manna right here as they're about to cross over. But big changes were coming. And so Joshua sent word to the people that they should prepare provisions for themselves. Assume more responsibility for yourself. Change is coming. Look at Joshua chapter 5, verse 10. Joshua chapter 5, just flip the page. Joshua chapter 5, verse 10. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal, kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho, and they ate of the produce of the land on the day of the after the Passover, unleavened bread. Wow, they're eating good food. Unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. And guess what happened? The Bible says, then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. The manna stopped. After feeding them for over 40 years, God was telling them it was time for them to personally assume responsibility for their growth and progress. You know, babies have to be fed, but if you have to spoon feed a 13-year-old, something is wrong. Am I right about that? Something is wrong. There comes a time in our lives when the manna has to stop. Amen? There comes a time in our lives when the manna has to stop. I'm not only talking about spiritually, I'm talking about physically. Let's see how far we can go with this. But you know, there are many Christians who have been saved for years, but they're still not spiritually mature. They still need manna.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.